7:16 now, our friend Senator Pat Connick joins us. We're going to talk about tax reform in the state, but then 17-year-old Carlos Taylor escaped, and I know Pat's been all over this juvenile justice thing, so we thought we'd start with that. How you doing, Senator Connick?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Tell me about this latest escape, about the JJIC, how it relates to state law, what can be done, and a woman was carjacked in at the LSU Dental Center and more. Thoughts on everything.
Listen, we've been looking at this for the last few years, and one of the bills we passed in the legislature this past session was that if there's an escape, whoever has control over this juvenile must notify the media, must notify the police immediately, and then get the word out so they can get this whoever escapes back into custody. And the law requires the entity or the individual to notify within 10 minutes. And in this case, it was not done. So people are now aware of the law. Hopefully going forward, we can get things fixed.
He's still on the loose, as far as you know?
That's what I'm hearing. They have not called him yet.
And as I understand it, I think this kid carjacked somebody for the first time when he was 12.
It's a bad situation with this individual. You know, he needs help. And he escaped, and we got to get him back and try to get him help and go forward from there. But we have to do a better job of notifying the public and letting people know what's going on. And to keep this a secret doesn't work. It doesn't help anybody.
Pat, I say this again, like I told Mike Strain, not to curry favor with you because you don't need my endorsement, but I do know you well. You're a friend, and I know that you are a good guy, and you're not a lock him up and throw away the key kind of guy. That being said, you also have a responsibility to protect the public as an elected official. And I went over to the Juvenile Justice Intervention Center with Freddie King. I don't know if you know Freddie, fellow Shaw graduate, and met with some of the people that are there. And I pray for him every night. You don't want to paint everybody with the same brush, but you do have to protect the public. So, the kids that were sitting there in the round circle that we had, and I realize they're probably hand-selected to put the best front forward, and I don't have a complaint with that at all, but they all said they were happier to be there than they were to be out because they had some structure, because they were going to school, they felt safe. This is a big old problem, and it goes beyond just, and I know it's a concern of yours, not just from a leader, but as a guy of faith and as a guy that wants to do the right by everybody. We can take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back because this is a long-term solution, a big old giant problem. I don't know how you fix it. I struggle with it every night when I pray. I really do. So I want to talk to you about that when we come back, all right?
Yes, sir.
And you can come back and talk about tax reform some other time. Pat Connick, or maybe we'll get some time. Pat Connick, Louisiana State Senator, fellow Shaw graduate, proud to say. More when we return, 720 Traffic Now, WWL. 7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Senator Pat Connick, who's been focused on juvenile justice and this for a long time, and the escapes from Avondale, and he is a good guy. I'm telling you, I know Pat for a long time, and no, seriously, Pat, and I know you're not, somebody texted in and said, and let me just read it, that punk doesn't need, quote, help, he needs a prison cell, 17 years is old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, keep him locked up till he turns 18, learns to read, then put him in boot camp. Well, listen to what you just typed there. He's 17 now. You say keep him locked up until he turns 18 and learns to read, that's a couple of months, and let a drill sergeant teach him how to behave properly. These kids, and being at the Juvenile Justice Center with our mutual friend and Char graduate, Freddie King, I talk to these kids and they start, man, they're saying that, from the time they're four or five, sometimes the parents are in the house, sometimes they're not, sometimes it's siblings, sometimes it's the parents themselves that are teaching them how to get in a life of crime. So I know you as a parent and as a Christian, you look at it from the standpoint of kids that are four and five, and how do you fix that? You also look at it as this complex, layered problem of you can't treat everybody like a criminal, because if you do, then they start to think of themselves as a criminal. But you do have to protect the public. And this is one hell of a Rubik's Cube, Pat, and I don't even know how you go about beginning to solve it. Thoughts?
Tommy, we've been working on this a long time. We fixed the problem at Bridge City. That took a while. The folks who escape, the folks who cause problem, they're going to get the media attention, and they're going to get the, all the you know, let's lock them up. They're bad actors, mm-hmm. and they are bad actors. They need to be locked up. But there's a lot of folks, a lot of kids that are getting help in the system, so we can't throw that away. We got to keep that focus on them to rehabilitate them and get them to be productive citizens. And I think we're going to do that to many, many of these juveniles. But, we, you know, there's a lot of eyes on the system now. The governor is really after this and trying to do the right thing. And I think we're going to get it right. This last incident shouldn't have happened. But because it happened, more and more focus is on what's the process of going forward. And the process is going to be on escapes. If they escape, notify the public immediately. Don't wait. And because we have a duty to protect the public. We don't want anyone hurt by these guys. Let's get them back into custody. And if they can't be rehabilitated, then you have to lock them up.
You always make the analogy of, you know, a contractor doesn't see walls in a house. A contractor or a plumber, electrician, they don't see walls. They see conduit. They see 2x4s. They see electrical boxes. And I use that as a metaphor because you, as an elected official, you know the problems of the juvenile justice system. You can't force people to be good parents. You can't legislate that. I don't know. What do you do for the kids now? And, Pat, this is what keeps me up, for the kids that are now 4 and 5 and going through what the kids that are at JGIC now that are 17 went through. So you're just funneling more into the system. How do you change that?
I don't know if you can, Tommy. There's always going to be an element of kids coming up with no parents, being born into a situation that's terrible. Now, we're lucky. I'm lucky to have a parent, two parents that love me and took care of me.
And Pat, let me ask you an honest question. Was there not something that you did in your life that could have gotten you in big trouble if you had continued down that road?
I have older brothers. I watched what they did, and I learned from them not to do things. So,
but you understand the point I'm making. It's all about opportunity and what we're exposed to, and but for the grace of God, all of us, who knows where we could be?
It's all about example. You know, you look at your family, you look at your faith, and do the right thing, try to do the right thing. Of course, you're going to mess up, but you always get that faith to go back on. But many people don't have that. And I realize that. And those are the ones we need to help if we can help. But if we can't allow them, those who harm people and rob and carjack and steal, you know, we got to take care of those in the right way. That's why we have jails. So.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate your time and your efforts as a public servant. I really mean that. And I hope you come back and talk about tax reform one day, all right?
We need to change this.
And let me say this.
In the tax system.
Yeah, and let me say this real quick. If y'all ever have a chance to have Senator Pat Connick's grilled buttered potatoes at a fair, don't miss it because he makes the best in the world. Am I wrong?
They're pretty good.
Award-winning. Exactly. Thank you, sir. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Eric Smith about oil and gas. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Chris Miller.